This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu, and you're listening to Going Global and Enterprise, where we speak to promising local tech companies about how they became regional and global players. So enterprises worldwide are capitalizing on the Internet of Things, or IoT, to drive business transformation and deliver innovative connected services, because the future will be driven by enterprises that embrace IoT as a strategy to streamline business growth. So one company that foresees and understands this and is at the forefront of enabling enterprises to embrace business optimization by providing turnkey IoT services is N-Osiris. All right. We're going to find out the history of that name in a little while. But to tell us more about the solutions and how they become Asia's leading IoT service provider are Navindra Sivaratnam, co-founder and COO, and Balasubramanian Manikam, the CTO. So welcome, gentlemen. So I have to find out first, what is N-Osiris? And, you know, does the name have a meaning?
Yes, it does, actually. And thank you, Freda. We always hear your voice in the radio, and this is the first time, and nice to meet you, actually, and thanks for inviting us. So, okay, let me start with N-Osiris, actually. Uh-huh. What does N-Osiris stands for, okay? It's a tribute to Navin for the N. Uh-huh. Osiris, actually, is the goddess of harvest in Egypt. Okay. So, and N is also another meaning is wealth in the numerological sense.
Okay.
So, we wanted to harvest the wealth. So that's what N-Osiris stands for, actually.
Okay, so that's a good conversation starter as well.
We get this question every time.
Every time, right? And then people want to talk, and then from there, then we go into it. So a little bit about each of your background before, you know, starting this company.
Okay, N-Osiris was incorporated in 2008, but we know each other for very long, actually. So it started by Stalin, our CEO, Navin, our CEO, and myself, Bala. So once we actually graduated, we all actually worked in the different MNC companies like Schlumberger, Motorola, and so on. And that's how we started. So we all actually worked in the same place, Cyberjaya. So we all are actually the same housemate.
Okay.
And Navin was always harping on, let's do something, let's start a company or something like that. Yeah.
2008 is already 10 years now.
Yep.
It's 10 years now, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
The company has been running full-time for about 8 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you started this company, though, you know, what was the pain point? Because there's the entrepreneurial spirit, right? Okay, I want to start a business and everything. But what was the pain point that you were trying to resolve?
All right. The pain point is basically IoT. I'll tell you about IoT first. Mm. IoT, we define it into three components. Mm. Sensors, connectivity, and business intelligence. Mm-hmm. Sensors is where the medium that you capture your data. Mm-hmm. Connectivity is where your medium you transport your data. Mm-hmm. Of course, and business intelligence is where your portal or your software that makes sense of the data that you've captured.
Okay.
All right. So in the IoT market space, these components are all fragmented. So any customers who wants to embark on the IoT journey finds it difficult. Yeah, it's a challenging thing for them. So what N-Osiris helps to solve the pain point is We allow our customers to embark on this IoT journey without them having to think or manage the difficulty in joining all these fragmented components.
That's your job, right?
Yes, that's our job. Mm-hmm. So the customer just focus on their business. They don't worry about the IoT components or how to deploy and manage it. We take care of them as a services to them, right?
So who are your typical customers, or do they fall into a particular industry?
We have customers for multiple industries, utilities, retail, agriculture, and so on. Yeah.
Okay.
To add on, in Malaysia, one of our biggest customers will be TNB. We're actually doing a SCADA automation for TNB, actually. We actually range from retail, finance, utilities, and we are currently embarking into agriculture as well.
Okay. So, and what did you all graduate in?
Computer science, actually. And we majored in So, communication systems.
Yeah. Okay, so it is back to the what you all studied as well, right? So, and then, of course, your role at N-Osiris, what are your respective roles in growing N-Osiris to what it is today?
Right, I explained the three roles of our three founders, right? Stalin, our CEO, who is not here today, he is the major driving force in bringing where N-Osiris is here today, all right? He runs the strategy and the sales of the business, right? I look after the operations and back office, including finance and administration as well. So while Salim is out there doing his strategy and sales, I make sure everything is intact at the back end. Yeah. So Bala is the magic here in MSRS. Yeah. Okay. He's the brains and the value creation of the technology that we offer to our customers.
Okay.
Right. So he ensures we are always ahead in the technology we provide, uh-huh, ahead of our competitors. All right.
Uh-huh.
So Bala is the key.
The magician.
The magician. Yeah, you can say that.
Okay. Yeah. So in terms of your approach in providing IoT as a service, right? What is your market approach? I can imagine the first customer getting that first deal, right? What was that like?
It was very challenging, actually. So one of our first customers is Telekom Malaysia. We won the contract in 2011. So once we won the contract, we thought, okay, you know what? We are the millionaires now and everything is settled. But I think it took us more than 2 years actually to educate the customer and bring the product to the market. Mm. So what we do actually is actually a managed services. Mm. So if I want to put it in a very nutshell, right? People doesn't want a drill. People want a hole, actually. They say, I want to buy a drill. Mm. So you have to actually decode that, understand what exactly they want, and then you create the hole for them. Okay. So that's our job, actually.
Okay.
So basically, we go into a customer. We try to understand their problem, what can be fixed and how to fix it, actually. Then we build a blueprint. Mm. And based on that, we will invest in a solution. Mm. And then we give them as a managed services. It's more like a subscription basis kind of a setup.
Okay. So after that first customer and all that, right, and approaching other customers, was it more through word of mouth? You know, how does that happen? There's still a lot of educating with all your clients?
Yes, it is. Okay. Typically, what we learn from our first customer is our sales team is a very lean sales team. So our primary mode of go-to-market is basically on channel partners. Mm. We educate our channel partners what are the things can be done and what are our capabilities and so on. Mm. And our channel partners typically have a very good relationship with the customers, actually. So through them, we actually access to the market. Other than that, we do trade shows, road shows, actually, with IoT platform and so on. Okay. And we also actually present white papers in the global events. The last we did was 2 weeks back in Barcelona in the IoT Solutions World Congress, actually.
Okay, their World Congress, they're quite well known. It's always in Barcelona every year, right?
Yes.
And so your the services and products offered by Enosiris, your main platform is called Next Platform.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that.
Okay, Next is basically stand for Enosiris Exchange, actually. So what we do, okay, just like now, how Naveen just now explained, right? IoT is very fragmented. So some people will say selling sensors are the IoT. Some people will say connectivity, M2M SIM cards are the IoT. Some people will say business intelligence, you know, I have this cloud and so on, it's IoT. What we do, actually, we bring everything together in one single solution for the customer. Mm. We are not exactly a solution provider, as per se. Mm. We're actually more on the customer-centric kind of a company, actually. Mm. So we typically customize the solution for the customers.
Mm. So, you know, just maybe give me a story. You were saying that one of your clients is in the retail space, right? Without mentioning the client's name, even what have you done for them? And did they use all these capabilities, whether it's sensors, connectivity, and business intelligence? Did they use the whole suite of, you know, services that you provided?
Yeah, typical retail customers that we've provided here in Malaysia, a couple of them. So they have managed to deploy, we have managed to deploy our solution to nationwide to all the outlets where they can utilize our connectivity, our sensors, and also the portal that we provide them. Mm. Then now they can know the uptime of all the outlets, the connectivity, their post machines. Huh. They can ensure that the post machines are working. Right. All the data they want to capture is sent back to the HQ.
Okay. Right?
So they're able to manage and monitor this by us deploying the solution.
Okay, if I may to add on, right? I wouldn't say every customer that we go in will fully utilize our IoT. It depending on the customer need, right, actually. Some customer, if we don't see the need, we won't actually push in extra features that they don't require.
So maybe they come in and say, I just want the sensors bit, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Right, so like we explained previously, we actually try to understand the objective, mm-hmm, first of all. What do they actually need?
Mm.
So based on that, we can advise them. You need these tools or this software, okay, or this connectivity.
Right.
Will help you achieve your objective.
Right. So, so in this case, in this particular retail client, right, what retail are we talking about? How many outlets do they have?
Okay, one of our retail customers, they have close to 200 outlets actually nationwide. Mm-hmm. So, but their primary objective is more on connectivity portion actually, because they do set up in very rural areas. So, uh-huh, our main objective here is to provide them a managed connectivity service. So connectivity portion is the biggest portion that we do for them, and a bit on the IoT gateway side.
Okay. So, and ultimately, once they've got that, then maybe in the future, they say, I want some BI on this right now, right? That kind of thing. At least they have, they've sorted out this portion.
Yep.
Let me get smart with the data that I have right now.
So, because now you already have all the data coming into your HQ. So, you want to make sense of the data? You can always get a BI model and make sense of the data.
Okay. Yeah. I'm here with Navindra Sivaratnam and Balasubramanya Manikam from N-Osiris. I will continue a conversation after this. Stay tuned to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Billions from me. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. If you've just joined us, we're going global on enterprise. I'm here with Navindra Sivaratnam, co-founder and COO, and Balasubramanya Manikam, CTO of N-Osiris. We talked a little bit about their business capitalizing on the Internet of Things or IoT. So you're currently operating in Malaysia, Indonesia, and the Philippines. How do they find you? And is it easy, or how is it different working with all these different customers from across the countries?
Okay, typically what we do is when we will actually go for IoT trade shows. So as we get more and more inquiry from the customers, we then will actually find a local partner actually. That will be our channel partner.
Right.
Through them, we actually try to build a services or solutions for them. As we get more and more, then we will set up a local entity there actually. So typically that's how the customers will actually find us.
Okay, through the partners.
Yes.
Is it easy finding these partners?
No.
Not really, not at all. Finding partners, I would say easy, but
finding the right
reliable partner, not that easy.
Okay, and I guess like culturally, what did you learn, you know, going into Indonesia, going to Philippines? How are we culturally different?
Okay, for Indonesia, right? One, the sales cycle is very long. Two, they are very polite, way too polite actually.
Okay.
So they sometimes will not tell you the right feedback.
I mean,
even if you don't do the right thing, right? Maybe they want something else. And then we tell the guys, okay, maybe this is the best way to do it. They'll say, okay, yeah, pa, bisa pa. But after that, as you progress, then you realize that this is not exactly
actually,
they
tak
need
bisa.
To. Gak bisa.
Okay, so and that's the thing, right? Because people will say that about Malaysians,
yes.
About us not being upfront, right? And here we are. There are people who are even more different in that sense, right? And it's interesting, right? Because even though we do speak similar language, and yet still, things can get lost in translation.
Yeah, exactly. Very much actually, very much.
Competition. Who else is playing in this space?
Okay. I will say what we are offering is something very unique. Mm. We are actually offering IoT as a service actually. Mm. In this space, especially in this region, Southeast Asia or Asia, we don't see much of the competition here actually. Mm. The closer that we see is wireless logic and core wireless. They are respectively in the US and
Europe
actually.
Right.
Typically, people sell products.
Uh-huh.
You know, it can be sensor, it can be sensor connectivity, platform and so on, but they don't go into the customer, understand the problem, build a solution for them and provide as a service for them actually.
Hmm.
So for now, not yet. Maybe in 2-3 years' time, we will see more and more players coming in.
So 10 years ago when you went into this business, the phrase IoT used already?
Not exactly. Okay,
right?
The time when we went into IoT, right, we actually called this as a managed services, secured connectivity.
Right.
All right. Then from there, it slowly evolved, become M2M,
okay.
Machine to machine. It's still communication connectivity.
Mm.
Now, I think for the past 3-4 years, it's coined as IoT. The good thing about IoT is you can do more with IoT than just pure connectivity.
It's right. Just a naming convention. There's also big data previously.
Yes, big data.
So big data, M2M.
Oh, before big data, it was big business intelligence. I mean, business intelligence on its own, right?
So if you combine all these now, it's IoT hype. Yeah.
Right, okay. And it's nice. Like we need new terminologies,
exactly.
Right? And then there's blockchain and all that as well on. So, you know, when I look at N-Osiris, so what is the ultimate goal for you guys? Do you guys have a business philosophy, you know, starting 10 years ago, or did that business philosophy come about much later?
Okay, when we started off, we actually purely wanted to be a connectivity player. Mm-hmm. But then we slowly evolved and we realized like the customer doesn't really care what technology you use.
Yeah.
What the customer wants is either a business optimization. That's what they exactly want, actually. Mm-hmm. Or business transformation. So we see IoT is a tool, mm-hmm. can enable them, actually. In future, let's say they want to go to blockchain, AI, or anything you want to name it. Mm. We are good for that, actually. We do have a tagline, actually, our company called Be a Hit.
Mm.
What we want to do is basically we want our customers, our partners, or even our team members, when they associate themselves with Enosiris, they want to feel they are actually ahead of everyone else, actually, in terms of technologies or in terms of business competition.
Okay. All right. Now, if you look at the fact that you've been in business for 10 years, you know, what were some of the challenges in the early days and what are the challenges now?
Okay. When we started, starting our company wasn't, I wouldn't say it's challenging because we had three of us here together, right? So we had a lot of time. So we wanted to start the business. So the main challenge that we first faced was funding. We had the idea, we had the technology, but we didn't have the right funding because none of us had deep pockets, right? So we went around pitching to 30, 40 individuals, pitching our ideas. This is what we want to do. This is what we can do. And finally, we found an angel investor who believed in our vision. And he was also in the same line of telecommunication industry at that time. So he was convinced and he came on board. He funded us to run the company. That's how actually we started then. So after that, setting up operations is quite easy, straightforward for us because all three of us come from an IT operations background. Right, so that we set it up pretty quickly. And the other challenge that we faced was business development. So none of us have done business development before. So that was a big learning curve for us. So the first 2 years that we started, we didn't know really how to do the business development.
Mm-hmm.
So it took us 2 years to really learn the gist of business development. And I think today, with the revenue that we're generating, I think we've mastered it to a certain level, yeah.
So you develop business development along the way.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, now, working with MTech, you know, and with your game program, when did that happen and, you know, how long have you guys been working together?
Okay, MTech, I think we've started, we got our MSc status in end of 2016, all right? I think after a year, then we were enrolled into the game program.
Okay.
Right. So,
and working with the game program, right? They help in visibility, market access, money, and mentorship.
Yes, yes.
So, where did you see the most value for you guys partnering with them?
Like for myself, I've been to Silicon Valley together with MDAC's immersion program, where they gave us market access to technology companies in Silicon Valley, how they do business, how they evolve the technology there. Right. It gave us a room for us to meet entrepreneurs there, understand how they use the technology to gain the knowledge. And they also provided mentorship for us to pitch to other companies, right?
Mm. So that was the value you felt.
And to add on, right, even if let's say we have any issues or any problems, we can actually approach them directly. They're very friendly people, actually. They guide us step by step what you do, how to do it, and so on. Even yesterday, we had one of the guys come out of our office and then advising us on some corporate matters, actually. So MDEC been very, very helpful. And on the visibility perspective, I think BFM is one of the very good examples that I can provide to you.
And of course, future plans. So now Malaysia, Indonesia and the Philippines, what's next?
Okay, we want to expand ourselves into Greater Asia. But before that, we want to expand ourselves into Vietnam, Myanmar, Cambodia. The groundwork is already begun. So I think maybe next year or the year after next year, we want to bring this our services to other countries, actually.
Okay, so beyond your Malaysia, Indonesia, and Philippines, cover the rest of ASEAN,
yes.
And then, you know, Greater China, and then the world.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean.
Thanks for being with us, and all the best with your future plans. It's exciting. Navindra Sivaratnam and Balasubramanyamanikam from Enosiris. And, you know, if you want to know more about the MDEC GAIN program, head on over to their website, mdec.my/gain. And Going Global is brought to you by the MDEC GAIN program, Building Global Tech Champions, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.